our visitors, we welcome you. I encourage you to stay afterward for at least just a little bit. Let us get to know you. Show your hand. It's good to see you here today. Appreciate our brothers' prayers. We've come to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And God willing, in the next 20 to 30 minutes, I will be able to tell you a little bit about that truth that makes us free. In the past few sermons, I've given some lessons that are about questions. Questions we may have asked ourselves. Perhaps you've asked yourselves all of these questions. Why are things repeated in the Bible? A couple of weeks ago, again and again. Martha, Martha. Moses, Moses. Why is the spelling? Emphasis, for one. What motivation is there? Get Moving was the title of that lesson today. I have a lesson titled, Why Don't People Listen to the Truth? I know I've heard this question in different forms in just the past year. There's a time that will come, this is a quote, the time will come, but it isn't a good one in this scripture. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. That's the quick and the dead, if you've ever heard that expression. And by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort, and with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Do not wait for this time to come in the future. It has been here since early on, meaning that first century. Sadly, people who want to gather aren't people that way, kind of like human nature. We gather people that I call it going to mass, but it's M-A-S. The Mutual Admiration Society. People going to, oh, you look great, and you need to, and say the things you want to hear, and tickle your ears, and tickle mine. And some people used to call this an education, stroking someone's ego, hoping to have that big head about themselves. We look, however, at the fact that if Jesus quotes from the cross, he quotes Psalm 22, I am but a worm. When Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, speaks of his background, and he had quite the resume, but he said he counted it all that year. A manure heap. Pretty harsh words, but when people will not listen to the truth, and instead gather to themselves people who say what they want to hear, that's part of the reason why some don't hear or obey that truth. Some don't know it. They don't know what that truth is. We're going to look at Hosea 4, 6 through 7, and John 18 and 38. In Hosea 4, 6 and 7, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. They have a lack because they've rejected it. They don't know it because they spurned it. I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. That's God. I will change their glory into shame. Now, some might say or think, okay, Mark, that's the Old Testament. Yes. This is the new. It is Pontius Pilate who has the power to spare the life or stay the execution of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says about the truth, to which Pilate asks the question, what is truth? That is so often the case. The truth is presented clearly. Jesus did it throughout his life. Yet there are the so-called experts, or the philosophes, or the people who look at and spurn, and they often ask, well, what is truth? Or they will say there are no big G truths. That was when I heard my freshman year at prestigious college. I say that with sarcasm. So what is truth? There are some who will claim there is no truth to be known. Here is the irony of that, sad irony. The people saying there is no truth are lying. Let me say that again. The ones who say there's no truth to be known are lying. That is an untruth. There is truth. It isn't always sweet. It isn't always pretty or cute. It isn't always what we want to hear. But a real world example is, if my hands are filthy dirty and I need to get washed up, I may not want to go and do that. I may ignore or defy that directive from dad and mom. However, ignoring it doesn't make it any more truthful. Now let me say it in a spiritual sense. If you are unclean spiritually, you haven't been cleaned, then no matter what you think or say, it's the same decision we all have to make. There is truth. Jesus promised that we would know it and it would make us free. You want to hear the words of Jesus? Listen. Now, when Pilate had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. So, in a sense, and again with some irony here, Pilate, is admitting that there's no untruth in Jesus Christ. Found no guilt in him. And you can say, well, that's about legal guilt. Okay. But Jesus did say that we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. There are those who refuse to believe it once they see it. You ever heard the expression, seeing is believing? Well, I guess that's kind of like doubting Thomas, right? There are those who won't believe even when it's shown to them. Even when the answer is revealed. I recall a situation in talking to a class at school about citizenship. Citizenship. And there are two ways of getting citizenship. In the United States, okay, there are two. And I will relate these then back to Scripture, if you'll bear with me a moment. You see, I married someone from another country. So I've got a little bit of insight, so is Martine, on what it takes to become a citizen or to be a natural born citizen. You see? Now the first is, if you are born on American soil, you have the right of the soil, the right of the nation. Yes. So if two are not a part of, but the child is born into that nation, so to speak, legally that person is an American. Don't know if you realize that. It's called jus soli. S-O-L-I. It's like the word soil. The other is called jus sanguinis. It is a word that means the right of the blood. Therefore, our children who were born in Europe still have the right of citizenship. This is legal matter and things that we can grasp and understand. Because their father, me, is an American. You see? Martina has become a naturalized citizen. Here is now the spiritual import or importance of that. Even if my parents or your parents or your parents were not part of the nation of Christ, Christ's body, you can still be born into Jesus Christ and be part of that holy nation. See where I went with that? So the nation, the soil, is a spiritual nation, a holy nation. But you got to be in Christ Jesus. You got to be in that nation to enjoy his blessings. Second, the right of the blood. If we are born or reborn in Christ Jesus, we have the right of his blood because he shed it for us. You see where I went with that one? So we have things in our world that can point to and help us to understand not only temporal, this side of judgment, not only temporary and temporal things, but can help point us to the correct understanding. We can look at nature, we can look at the law, we can look at things, but we got to look at them truthfully and honestly, with an open mind, an open heart, and then our soul is open for cleansing and for renewal. Some good thoughts there. Some refuse to believe. Why did I give you this example? One of my students said I was wrong. He was a nice guy. But he said, you're wrong. And I said, none of your other teachers have taught it wrong. That's not boastful. If I know that as a fact. Okay? So, we are not to boast except in Christ and him crucified, or we ought not to. So what I am saying is, thank God Almighty that he, the Father, allowed Jesus the Son to make a new holy nation, grafting us in. If we were not Jews in the flesh, we were Gentiles, giving us an open opportunity, and through his blood and by his stripes we are healed. That's a blessing on a day and a week and really every year that we ought to count our many blessings. Let's take it a few, take a couple more and see if what I just taught you is worn out or is actually scriptural. But these words appeared to them as nonsense and they would not believe them. This is in Luke. You're in the Gospels now. Jesus teaching, preaching, walking the walk, talking the talk, Luke 24 and 11. And in Acts 28 and 24, some were being persuaded by the things spoken, being taught and preached. But others would not believe. So was what I was saying true? There are some, regardless of what their parents did or did not do, were not wanting to believe. Else they might repent and confess that blessed name of Jesus and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. How sad, sad that bitter wail, almost but lost. In James 1:25, some forget the truth. The more it seemed, not just with me, but this was especially true of me. This is a weakness. Cramming doesn't tend to work. It tends to make the people who cram for the exam, the test, trying to shove a whole semester worth of information into your mind, and it's like trying to eat. Can you imagine trying to eat 3 months worth of food at one sitting? Don't try that. And don't try it later this week either. I'm serious. Let me talk. Okay? But we are so blessed in this nation. We can no sooner sit down and have 4 or 5 months of data and shove it in between our ears to where it lodges, takes hold, and understand. You can't even pour a footer of concrete and go out and set the wall on it the next minute. As soon as, yeah, we just poured it, he leveled it out. So she's going to now start laying the block on top of it. You can't do that. Why? It's got to take an opportunity to take hold, to cure. And so likewise, this is why we ought to be diligent and vigilant. There are two words from our study this morning, vigilant especially. We ought to be diligent and continue to study. Why? Because we forget things. Because we need those reminders. Lee brought up the point that we ought to maybe make a copy of this page from our workbook and look at it every month. Maybe every couple weeks. Maybe every week. Maybe have it as a poster in a study or a room. So we can look at it each day. Why? Because we ought to be girding up our loins and not forgetting the hope that's in the future and in between the two, to be sober-minded, clear-headed, so that we will not forget the truth. Many things we can try to go out and in 24 hours lift weights at the gym and expect the next day to have your best Olympic performance. Or will you probably be suffering from that, what we usually call a lactic acid hangover, the sore muscles, because the body can't be whipped up into shape in one day. So don't try to do that spiritually. James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, that's like living in it, sticking with it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The one who does not do, no. The one who does not do it with effect, no. The one who forgets, no. The one who hears and then forgets, no. That's not what James wrote. He walked with the Lord. He ought to know. And it's not James' gospel, it's Jesus' words and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if it's good enough for Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be given to James, to be given to us, until that last day comes, it ought to be good for us one and all. What is that? Don't be a forgetful one of the truth. Learn it and continue to work with it. You ever heard the expression, use it or lose it? Here's another expression, and you would know this very much, sister, and that is, and several of you. What happens, now don't shout out, but what happens to a muscle if you put it in a cast and don't use it? It's called atrophy. Atrophy is a big word or maybe a fancy word. It means the muscle's going to waste away. Why? You're not working it. You're not working it. And if the cast is ripped off after or cut off after a couple of months and it's wasted away, shrunk, literally, you're not going to be able to whip it back into shape in one day, which I've already said. So here's the key. Do not be guilty. Brothers, sisters, and friends, do not be guilty of spiritual atrophy. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So keep working with it. Keep digging into it. Keep reading it. Keep looking into it to see if those things are correct. And take a little bit more and get another nugget and get another gem. Add those to the things and the points that you understand. Write it. Don't feel ashamed to write things down or to type them up. Count on yourself forgetting a few things. Copy it. Some people believe lies and therefore do not follow the truth. I don't know how many years ago, it was 2, 4, 6, whatever, when we started hearing words like, it's not a political statement to you, and left and right, and the middle, and fake news. Well, I'd like to say, if it's fake, then how is it news? It didn't happen. You know, so that even the word itself can be literally a term, can be misleading. You can learn by watching and listening things that are going around and then comparing them to the word of truth. Some people are going to believe lies. That means some people are going to be deceived. And who's behind the chaos and the deception? Don't say this party or that party. Satan. He loves it. He was a liar from the beginning. Why? Because that's the way he rips people away from Jesus Christ and from the truth, which will make us free. You won't surely die. You'll become like kings, like gods, discerning good and evil. Well, they didn't physically die on the spot, but physical death was an impending doom that was coming, and they didn't see on that very minute, that very second, that very day. However, on that moment, on the spot, at that very second, they died spiritually. And if all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then it behooves us all, now that we can discern between good and evil, that responsibility to do so is on our backs. Now, you want to get the monkey off your back, so to speak? You want to get this burden of sin? You can't lift it, you can't carry it, and you can't wipe it away. You're going to have to be in Jesus Christ, who has already triumphed over that load and says, brother, sister, friend, you don't have to carry the burden of your sin anymore. That was your choice. In 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. Who's to say, we talked about a month and a half ago, if God created everything in the universe, there can be things that this person says, well, these two things are together, then the one created the other. We'll look over here and make mistakes about the fossil record, but I don't want to get into that. But God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he took an older brother of Christ. Thank you, brother. To tell me many years ago, Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. Some believe lies and some will not hear the truth because they are already hardened. So what to do? You got to get some heart softener in yourself and in your soul. And the best way I know to do that is be here, be listening to other people talk, teach, preach, sing hymns, sing with the Spirit, and sing with understanding. Study to show yourselves approved, because you're getting a double, triple, quadruple dose of the good, of the truth. That's going to make you free. You want to be free? Get away from the jail cell, the bondage of sin. You want to be free? Look in the law of liberty, which is what the New Testament is called. 2 Corinthians 11:14, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So don't be deceived. The deceiver is out there working right now. Right now, just waiting for y'all. Just waiting for all of you and me to trip here, to hurt there, to question there. To sow a seed of doubt. Don't let him in the front door. Kick him out the back door and be gone, Satan. As Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. So let's read in order to dispel that which is sinful. Some follow those not preaching the truth. They are following men rather than the man. They are following other. I heard some people talking about someone in the United States as if he was a savior. And these are terms that I take very seriously, and I believe you do too. The point being, we have one Savior, Jesus Christ. One. So you've got one shot. Go through that narrow gate. Let's read a few of these. In 1 Corinthians 1, 11 through 13, for I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You know who wrote that? Paul. Who would know better whether Paul was the way, the truth, and the life? And no one came to the Father except through him. Who would know better? Other than Paul and the other inspired apostles. Not one of the apostles said, get to heaven through me. Not one. Now, it was said, follow me as I follow Christ. But that elevates Christ, not demoting him. Jesus Christ sits on the throne. If there are any usurpers, do not follow him or them or her. Jesus Christ sits on that throne forever. Period. There is no other. So, Paul says it right. I'm not of Lee, and you're of Bud, and she's of Joe. They didn't die for our sins. That's not to put the brothers down or sisters. We have one. We honor the King. Let us wear his name. The anointed one, the Christos, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Galatians 1, 8 and 9, but even if we, these are the apostles and Paul writing again, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. That included himself. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. Gentlemen, ladies, sisters, brothers, visitors, all, it isn't me, but listen to the words of this apostle who said, it isn't me either. If you are hearing someone teaching and preaching something that they call a gospel, and you do not find it here, I don't mean a summary or a workbook. I mean they are teaching a different thing. It isn't truth. And Satan loves that. And many will be deceived because they'll follow people rather than the man. Follow Christ and him only. Some follow those not preaching the truth, teaching the truth. 2 Timothy 4 and 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. As I read in the beginning, so I read again. Some refuse to obey. They know what it is. Almost to pause. Some will conveniently. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8, and then 3 and 14, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, and get this, it does not say, who never heard, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you not only have to know who Jesus is, know that he's the one and only Savior, the Son of the living God, the Christ, but you have to obey his gospel. And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Why? A little shame in this world is better than a lot of destruction of the soul for eternity. That's why. Better to rebuke than to watch. Wouldn't you want to say throughout the lifeline, here it is, Julie, if she's drowning in her wrong or her sin, she's okay. But if I use her as an example and I throw out the life saver, the ring, or a rope, what do you say? Grab a hold, and then I can pull you to safety. But if she refuses to obey, I'm not going to do what you told me to do. I'm not trying to be flippant, but people do that all the time. Don't you tell me what to do. I'm doing it to grab hold or you will drown. People who refuse to obey, refuse. Not that they didn't know the truth. There are some who will know it and refuse. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." This is Mary speaking to Jesus. And Jesus responded. He was about 12 years of age. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" What blessed words. All his life long, he's about his father's business. He's obeying. He's being a dutiful son. If obedience is good enough for the Son of God, God with us, Emmanuel, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, then it ought to be good enough for obedience for us one and all. Amen. So again, Luke 2, 48 and 49. Into your hands, then at the end, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He was quoting scripture. Messianic Psalm 31 and 5. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. You want to hear Jesus' words? I just gave you some more. Please follow the truth. His words are truth. He knew that the word of God was truth. Never mind this. It's something I thought of this morning. But how do you figure that God will care for your soul in the next life in heaven if you haven't committed your soul to him in this one? So often I hear, you know, hail, laud and honor, heralded. And I just have to sit back and think, you can point to the sky, but the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd were not godly men. The people start doing this in concert. If they did not commit their souls to God in their service in this life, how do you figure they are saved and God has their souls in his hands in the next? And I say to you, that is contrary to scripture. Do not think that if you were saved, you were safe if you refuse to commit. You've got to be a committed person in a good way. Go into all the world and preach the gospel of all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. That's Jesus Christ's words. Are you willing to follow those today? With many more words I could say or ask, are you resolved? Have you heard the truth preached this morning? Are you willing to commit yourself to him? Won't you come then? Having heard and believed, won't you come and put him on the baptism while he stayed sick? I'm resolved. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler.